Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
A.J. Jacobs in the New York Times last Sunday told about what it was like to live without plastic for only 24 hours. He's done stunts like this for a year, but he thought he'd try and live a day without plastics. And weirdly, his wife hasn't left him yet. A.J., welcome back to the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, John. Delighted to be back.
Actually, I'm assuming that your wife hasn't left you. Is she still married to you? Do you still have a family at home?
As of five minutes ago, but you know, you never know.
So what inspired this? Why did you try and live a day without plastic?
Well, this is a challenge from my editor at the New York Times. And like you said, it was only 24 hours. He wanted me to do a month or a week. But I said, when I looked into it, plastic is so ubiquitous that you can barely do 5 minutes. So I bargained him down to 24 hours, which was hard enough, because it changed everything in my life. You know, it changed the way I dressed and I brushed my teeth and I talked and walked and worked and slept. And every moment was a challenge.
I got news for you. You were never a snappy dresser to begin with. So maybe some natural fabrics would be an upgrade. Were you reminded of the scene from The Graduate when Dustin Hoffman is told that the future is plastics?
Oh, yeah. And I almost referenced it in the article, but I pulled back. But I will say that advice was pretty good from a financial perspective. I mean, if you had invested back then, he would have been a multimillionaire, possibly billionaire, because plastic is everywhere. We go through 400 million tons of plastic. We throw away every year 400 million tons. And 200 million of those are from single-use items like cups and bags and things that you're supposed to use just once. So it is a good business to be in, maybe not so good for the environment.
Well, so that's really the motivating factor here, right? I mean, are plastics that bad? What's the harm of plastics?
No, sometimes they're really good. You know, the scientists I talked to said plastic is not the enemy. Single-use culture is the enemy. Throwing stuff away, because solar panels are made of, sometimes plastic's good for the environment. Wind turbines are made of plastic, and plastic is lighter for airplane parts. But yeah, it is the problem of, you know, 300 million tubes of toothpaste are thrown away every year. So that is a problem. So the idea was, if I could spend a day not using any plastic or even touching plastic, just to see how ever present it had become. And it was crazy. I mean, I violated my challenge within the first 10 seconds. I put my feet on the floor when I woke up, and my rug is made of plastic, acrylic. It's a type of plastic.
Yeah.
And then I went to open the doorknob, and the doorknob is coated in plastic. So it was just an impossible but interesting challenge.
I read from your piece in the Times up to the point where you started to brush your teeth and ended up doing it with a bamboo toothbrush with boar's hair bristles. And I did not realize that there is, AJ, you're not the first one to rebel against plastics. And there's an industry to cater to people that want to divorce themselves of that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a huge business, this plastic-free business. So, yeah, I had a plastic-free toothbrush of bamboo, like you said. There, instead of toothpaste tubes, you get toothpaste pellets, which are like little pills, and you pop them in and chew them up and brush with those. I had non-plastic underwear, because the elastic in underwear is usually made of plastic. So I had a drawstring underwear. I mean, I spent a buttload of money on trying to get, and that is one of the problems. It is expensive to live a plastic-free life. It's sort of a privilege. So they've got to make it easier and lower barriers to living without plastic. Because right now it's sort of, a lot of it is sort of like, Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow's fancy lifestyle brands. It's kind of
maybe
that.
Maybe if the demand increases, the economics will change. But I understand that it sounds a little niche right now. Although I got to tell you, I think a lot of us are cognizant of it. We don't think to do anything about it. And when I go to, say, Portillo's here in Chicago, which is a fast food chain, kind of a fast, convenient chain of food, and it's very popular. Good food, everybody loves them. But when you get stuff to go there, they give you a profound amount of garbage, you know, the styrofoam container and the plastic cup and the straw and the paper. And it makes me sad, but I also like the food, you know, so what am I going to do?
It's a dilemma. I mean, I have the same thing. When I did a sort of an audit of how much plastic I use every year, it is crazy. Because I order in, which is terrible. So I have pledged. I'm not going plastic free like some of the orthodox plastic free people who just they won't sleep on plastic mattresses or have plastic pillows. I'm just sort of moderate, step by step, trying to be a little better every month. So it could be little things like having the steel water bottle carrying around. That I can do. I can
steel
do that
water and, bottle.
And build up from there.
Well, what about biodegradability? Is that because to me, the plastic water bottles are biodegradable, some of them. Does that count? How do you score that?
Well, that is, it's a debate. I'm not an expert, but there are a lot of people who say that plastic does sometimes eventually degrade, but it degrades into these tiny microplastics. So it's still there. It's not gone. It's just these tiny little things. And that is everywhere. That is in the water we drink that comes out of your tap. That's in the air. And we don't know the health effects yet. I talked to several scientists, and they basically said, don't panic yet. Like, we don't know. There are studies being done. It could be totally harmless to us. But a lot of particles go in and out of our body. But, you know, there is a chance that this is not really good for us.
But there's also the possibility that the more environmentally friendly options are, in fact, more environmentally harmful. There has long been a debate about paper or plastic bag. And the resources that go into making a paper bag are considerable. Remember the debate, maybe it's still ongoing, with cloth versus disposable diapers. The energy it takes to wash a cloth diaper might be more harmful to the environment than the disposable diaper is. It's not always easy to score, is it?
No, it is so hard. It is, and I spent weeks trying to figure it out. The best you can do is just try, and there are ones that are clear, low-hanging fruit, like having a steel water bottle is definitely better than buying plastic water bottles wherever you go. But sometimes, the paper-plastic debate rages on. The answer is that you want a reusable bag, either made of recycled plastic or cloth, but If it's made, you have to use it a lot of times. You have to use it, dozens of times to make up for the energy that it took to create that bag. So you gotta commit. You can't just use a reusable one like five times and then toss it.
We're talking to A.J. Jacobs. His piece in the New York Times last Sunday was titled Plastic Surgery. No phone, no credit cards, no bed. There's a picture of him sitting on a subway car, but the subway cars are made of plastic seats. So did you bring your own wooden chair to sit in the subway?
I did. I bought a nice wooden teak chair that probably has plastic coating. I emailed the company and they wouldn't respond, but I thought, listen, if I'm going to go on the subway, and I will say I ripped myself off, because as you probably remember, I did book called The Year of Living Biblically, where I followed all the rules of the Bible.
Yep.
And in the Bible, it says that if a seat is sat on by a woman who is in her time of month, who is menstruating, then the seat becomes impure. So when I was following the Bible, I actually had a little plastic chair that I carried around and went on the subway with. So this was my second attempt at using a portable chair on the subway. But this one was wooden.
Would it be appropriate to ask all the women when you get in a subway car if it's their time of the month? And then you.
Well, I don't know. Different people have different etiquette. I leave that to you. I decided not to ask everyone.
Maybe that was the smart play on that. You know, I was thinking, though. So A.J. Jacobs, the author who is always happy to embark on some sort of challenge, he referenced the year of living biblically. I discovered him when he decided to read the entire Encyclopedia Britannica for a year and then relate what that experience was like, but also the things that he learned. And that was such a fun year for me, learning what you learned.
It was Thank you, John.
What was the title of that book? What was the title of that one?
The Know-It-All. The Know-It-All.
Yes.
At one point, I knew it all. Now I've forgotten it all, or 99.9%.
You were insufferable. You were insufferable that year.
My wife penalized me $1 for every irrelevant fact I inserted into conversation. So, yeah,
But as I recall, you couldn't help yourself. Like, they'd be sitting there talking with friends at a restaurant, and somebody would say something about chess, and suddenly you would know an intriguing fact about the history of chess that nobody knows, and it's really fun, but nobody cares. Shut up, AJ. And you always had that push-pull moment, and your wife started to hit you with a stick. As I recall,
I was just trying to share what I knew. I was so excited, but people were not as excited as me. I was sort of like that old the Cheers sitcom for your older viewers with Cliff Clavin.
So when you were living for a day without plastic, that means you didn't use a computer, right?
Right.
You couldn't buy anything with a credit card. That's plastic. What else did you have to do without?
And it's not just credit cards. I couldn't even use cash because cash has little plastic fibers in it. So I had to use coins, which drove people crazy because I had to count out $19 in coins. The clothing was incredibly difficult because the plastic, even if it says 100% cotton, it is hidden in there. Like in the pockets are usually made of plastic or the tags are made of plastic. It's just lurking wherever. I actually ordered a book called Life Without Plastic on how to live without plastic, and it came encased in plastic like a slice of American cheese. I couldn't believe it. And the guy who wrote it was just horrified, but it's hard to control.
He didn't know. What about this? Kathy, you're on WGN Radio with AJ Jacobs. What can we do for you? You're on the air. Hi. Or maybe not. Hey, Kathy, you want to join us? Go ahead.
Hi. I'm here. Hi.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm here.
Great.
Yeah. Do you think the world is prepared for more nude beaches and nude swimming pools? Because I ordered a two-piece Speedo over the summer that was supposed to be recyclable fabric, and the bottoms had drawstring. That wouldn't stay up worth a darn if you're swimming laps, I'm telling you. So I'm back to my Speedo, my regular elastic.
Well, there are a couple of questions there. Is the world ready for more new beaches? That's a different question, maybe.
I would say no.
But as for, I hear you about sometimes the plastic-free products are worse. Like the straw, paper straws, I think, do such damage.
Oh, they're
to
horrible.
The environmental cause, because like I've heard
they
comedians talk
horrible.
Like, you know, you get a mouthful of sawdust. It's like they are the same product, but much worse. So they've got to make plastic-free products that are actually good. And there are some, but I hear you. It's a problem.
I appreciate the call, Kathy. Thanks for joining us. So if you could, based on your one-day experiment, ask us all to do a couple of things. What would you ask us to do, AJ?
Well, the experts I talked to said, don't do what I did. Worst idea, going from 0 to 60. Instead, try to change one small habit, replace one plastic part of your life, and build from there. Once you have that habit, build another. So one could be, you know, a lot of people bring their bags to the grocery. But what about the produce bags? You know, you go there with one cloth bag and you use 10 plastic produce bags. So maybe buy just a few cloth produce bags and try that out and see if you can master that habit and then build from there.
I think we should ask businesses, and government will never do anything, it seems to me, in a in an efficient manner, but maybe we should all pressure businesses more. In fact, Stan wanted to say something about one of ours around here. Stan, you're on WGN. What's that?
How you doing? Well, you mentioned Portillo's earlier with the styrofoam burger containers and all, and just today, as you mentioned that, I went through, grabbed my burger, and guess what? They're changing over to cardboard instead of the styrofoam.
Oh.
And the gentleman told me that they're starting with the hamburger boxes. They're going to go next to the soda cups. So that's a little progress. Not much, but a little bit.
Hey, listen, I love that. Thank you for the call. I knock Portillo's for things like that, so I'm glad you evened the score. How about that, AJ?
Yeah, John, this is great news. You can eat there guilt-free. That's exciting. But to go back to your point about government and corporations, I totally agree with that. I should have stressed that more in the article. Like, this should not all be on us, the individuals. It's got to be a change at the corporate level. It's got to be policy, international policy. The UN is now working on a big plastics pollution treaty. And also, innovative technology like bioplastics. We've got to encourage that. There's a market-based solution to this.
You know, the international community got together and continues to on climate change, but they just had a summit about biodiversity. You probably paid a little attention to that. The rate of extinction that the world is experiencing now is 100-fold greater than it has been since humans walked the planet. More species are being eliminated, plant and animal, from our diverse biosphere now than ever before. People don't pay attention to it, but these things are related. I don't know if it's...
Yeah, that is terrifying. And it's also not the right species. We got to get rid of mosquitoes. They are the worst. They do so much harm. They're not just annoying, but they spread disease. So can we get those extinct and keep all the others? That's my theory.
I'm afraid not. You can read it in last Sunday's New York Times. We got to go, AJ. Any last book that you're writing or new book that you're writing before I say goodbye?
I am. I'm actually writing a sequel to The Year of Living Biblically called The Year of Living Constitutionally. So I got my musket and I got my, I'm going to write it on my parchment paper and I hope you like it.
I will. And I'll talk to you when that comes out. What's the pub date on that? Do you have one?
It'll be out in about a year. I'm still living it. I should not be on this phone because I don't think they had phones in 1789.
All right. Enjoy that experiment. We'll read about it and talk again later. A.J. Jacobs, buy all of his books, learn all of his things, and you can also catch him in last Sunday's Times. Thanks, A.J.
Thank you, John.